We're holding on an Aleph Amud Beis after the second Mishnah. The Mishnah had told us about a number of more cases where a person makes a neder not to eat a certain kind of food and what's included and what's not included. One of them was, we mentioned the case where a person says, dog dogim shani toyim. He says, I won't eat dog, which is dog, which is the singular for fish, dogim, which is the plural for fish. So the Ran understands that means that he said both of them. He said dog and dogim. Tosfos and Nerosh understand that it means that actually he said one or the other. Anyway, we said that then he's also in any kind of fish, big, small, salted, unsalted, cooked, uncooked. However, we said he would be mutter. The implication of the word dog or dogim, or as the Ran says, both of them, the implication of that is that he's asking himself only from whole fish. Therefore, he'd be allowed to eat tris trufa, which is minced fish, like minced tuna fish. He'd also be mutter to eat sir and muyas, sir, the juice that oozes out of salted fish, and muyas, which is another kind of liquid that they make out of the fats and the kishkis of the fish. Morning, Ali. Then we said, on the other hand, when a person makes a neder not to eat sachna, where sachna comes from a word that means smelly. So it also refers to fish, which have a very strong fishy smell. But then we said that's different. Sachna already implies fish that are cut up or mashed up. So therefore, that would also then he'd also be usser in in tuna fish. He'd still be allowed sir and muyas. Only now, if the Mishnah finished off, if he said that he makes a neder not to have tris trufa, not to have tuna fish, minced tuna fish, so then the girsa we have in front of us in the Mishnah is that he'd be osir in sir and muryas, because those are included in the tris trufa. The Ran has the girsa that in fact he'd be mutter in them, because ultimately they're not part of the tris trufa itself. So that's where we're holding now in the Gemara after that Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Reb Shimon Alozo, I'm a dog shani toyim. Reb Shimon Alozo says that if a person says, I won't eat dog in the singular, osir b'gdolim or mutter b'ktanim, then he would be osir to eat large fish, but he would be mutter to eat small fish. So he would be arguing with the Mishnah. So it depends. According to the Ran, that in the Mishnah, only if he says dog dogim, only then is he also in both, then Rav Shimon Elazar is basically saying the same thing as the Mishnah. Only if he says both dog and dogim is he also in both of them, implying that if he only says one, then he'd be also only in that one. On the other hand, according to Tosfos and the Rosh, in the Mishnah, when he says one or the other, then already he's also in both of them, then Rav Shimon Elazar is going to be disagreeing and saying no, only if he says both of them. So if he says dog, and again, the singular implies fish that are sold individually, which is large fish. So then he'd be also in big ones, or mutter b'ktanim, and he's mutter in small ones. Dog gah shani toyim. Conversely, if he says that I won't eat dog gah suggests, first of all, the feminine, the lashon nekeva, suggests that it's smaller. There's also dog gah sometimes means, in general, the fishes. We're going to quote some psukim soon about that. So that would imply more ones that come, more ones that you buy in bulk. So dog gah shani toyim. So if he says that I won't eat dog gah, also b'ktanim, mutter b'gdolim, then the other way around, he'd be also in the small ones and mutter in the big ones. What is the cutoff point between small and big? The Ran brings from the Yerushalmi, the cutoff point would be whether it weighs a litra, which is about a pound. So if it weighs less than a litra, it's called small fish. If it weighs more than that, it would be called a big fish. The Ran says that may have been true in the place where the Yerushalmi was written. In different other places, it'll depend what the cutoff point between fish that are sold individually and ones that are sold in bulk. Then if he says dog, dog, gosh, ani toyim, if he says both of them, then he's also in both the big ones and the small ones. And the point is, you shouldn't think that maybe it means like he's changing his mind. He says dog, and then he thinks to him, and then he's saying, you know, maybe I meant to say dogga. No, we assume, unless he tells us otherwise, I guess, that in fact he meant to answer himself from both dog and dogga, which would be the big ones and the small ones. So again, according to the Ran, Reb Shimon Elazar is not saying anything different than the Mishnah. According to the Rosh and Tosfos, he is, because according to them, if he said either dog or dogga, already he would be also in both of them. Okay. The Gemara asks, Omalera Popola Abaya. Now, the premise we're saying then is that dog means big fish and dogga means small fish. Or in the Mishnah, we had dogim, whatever. So Omalera Popola Abaya. The dog shiny toyim godol. How do you know that how are we getting that the word dog means a big one? Presumably it must be dichtiv by Yaman Hashem dog godol livloya es Yona. We find in the story of Yona where Hashem says that Hashem appointed Hashem arranged for a big fish to swallow Yona. So the word dog we would assume means big. Obviously, by the way, there would be a lot more than a pound that had to be big enough to swallow Yona. Anyway. By the way, and in the back of the Gemara, the Maloi HaRoyim points out, I mean, if that were the case, then if we're saying the word dog by itself means big, then why the need for the word godol? He says, okay, you know, in stories, sometimes the Pasuk may use extra words to clarify the meaning, even though it wouldn't have been strictly necessary. It's true, in terms of halacha, the Pasuk could have just said, Vayiman Hashem dog, but it uses the word godol because in stories, often that's what the Torah will do to clarify things. Anyway, the problem with that is v'hoksiv, you have another pasuk. The next pasuk says v'yispalol Yona el Hashem alekav mim e hadog ga, that Yona davened to Hashem from the belly of the dog ga. So now that means that that big fish are also called dog ga. So what are you telling me, that dog means big and dog ga means small? So the answer is okay, hold a kasha. That's not a problem. Doma palte dog godol bale dog cotton. Okay, maybe what happened was he was swallowed by a big fish, and then that big fish spit him out, and then a small fish swallowed him up. So therefore, he isn't a dogger. Obviously, therefore, it wouldn't be below a pound, but it would be relative. In other words, the point is, dogger would be relatively a smaller fish than dog. In the case of fish that you buy in the store, the cutoff would be a pound or below a pound. In the case of the fishes with Yona, you'd have there was originally a big one, and then there was a small one. And in fact, the Medrash says just that, actually. It actually brings on the pasuk over there that, in fact, what happened was Yonah was first swallowed up by a big fish. The Medrash actually says not so much big and small, but male and female, that originally he was swallowed up by a male fish, and it was very comfortable in there, very roomy. So Yonah didn't find the need to daven to Hashem to get him out of that predicament. So Hashem caused that the big fish spit him out, and he landed in the belly of a smaller fish, or a female fish, which had lots of eggs that it was incubating. So now it's much more crowded in there. Now Yonah finally realized that, you know what, he better dive into Hashem to get him out of there. So in fact, the Gemara is saying that maybe a big fish swallowed him, the big fish spit him out, and a small fish swallowed him. In fact, the Medrash says that is exactly what happened. So therefore, yeah, there's no problem with the fact that first it says dog and then it says dogga. Indeed, it was bigger and smaller, or in terms of the Medrash, male and female, respectively. Rather, what we can ask is, what about Pasuk by Makas Dam, the hadogga asher by Ya'ur Mesa? It says the dogga in the river died. What are you going to say? Ketanim mesu gdolim le mesu? You're going to say that only the small fish died, the big fish did not die. Rather we have to answer, doga mashma gdolim or mashma ketanim. The fact is, in Torah terminology, the word doga doesn't say anything about the size of the fish. It could mean small fish, it could mean big ones. There are actually Mephoshim on the Psukim who say that doga means the more like, I guess you would say in English, the fishdom, the fishes of this area, like all the various kinds of fish that live in the water would be in that area all summarized under the name dogga. And the reason why in our Mishnah it's different from Nedarim, because by Nedarim you go according to common human terminology, and when people use the word dog versus dogga, then they mean big or small respectively. Or according to the Ran, the vote is whether dog or dogga, people use them to mean the same thing. They mean fish without specifying big or small. As far as Makas Dam and the Pasuk Vahadog Asher Vayor Mesa, there is a very interesting thing about it from the Rogachover. He says that Makas Dam was actually the early Makas, he says, were meant to strike the Mitzrayim personally, not so much the public property of Mitzrayim. That came only later. So he learns that when Moshe first hit the water because he was saved by it as a baby, when Aaron first hit the water at Moshe's directive, he didn't go actually to the actual Nile to hit it. Instead, he went to one of the canals. We know that in Mitzrayim, they have lots of canals that branched off the Nile to irrigate the various fields. Those canals were individual people's property, as opposed to the Nile itself, which was the common property of all of Egypt. So he went and struck those canals. And in fact, he says that's when the pasuk says Ya'ur, Rashi in various places explains that the word Ya'ur, strictly speaking, means canals. So he actually only struck the canals, and he goes on to say, in those canals, the fish, the larger fish are also considered public property because nobody had trapped them. Smaller fish can already be considered people's property because they get trapped in the nets and the traps and whatever that people put up over there. And he brings from a Yerushalmi that small fish that get caught like that are in fact considered private people's property. So the Rogachover learns that in fact what happened was at the beginning of Makas Dam, in fact it is like our Gemara is saying, that only the small fish died because only the canals were struck and turned to blood, and the small fish that were in them, so now the canals and the small fish are all individual people's property, therefore they all died. As opposed to, so eventually what happened was, obviously, you know, the blood poured from those canals into the Nile and the dead fish along with them. And eventually eventually the Nile itself became polluted with blood and the big fish in it also died. But that was more like an indirect consequence of the Makkah rather than to begin with how the Makkah started out. So therefore that would explain why in fact the Pasuk uses the word Dogah, even though on the face of it, as the Gemara is saying, all the fish died, because to begin with, in fact, Taka, only the small fish died. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Hanodim et Sachna Chola. We said if a person makes a neder not to eat Sachna, and we said that Sachna means fish that are already broken up. The word Sachna again means the Ran refers to a pasuk Vatal to the south Sachnosa, which means that its smell will rise up. So tzachna means fish that have means a bunch of fish together that have a very fishy odor, and it means you have among them some whole ones, some broken up ones. So a person makes a neder from tzachna, we said he's also to have minced tuna fish, but he would be mutter and siren muyas. So omale ravina ravashi omar harel at tzichin mai. What if the person says I will be also to eat tzichin? So now what would be the din? Is tzichin the Aramaic equivalent of tzachna? So then, as the Mishnah said, he'll be mutter in the various fish juices, or maybe tzichin is a plural. Maybe tzichin being a plural, so maybe it includes the tzir and murias as well. The Rosh instead has a girsa instead of tzichin, he has a girsa tzichin. Anyway, the point is that Tosfos is the one that has that. Girsa. Would he be mutter in the Tosfos learns the question differently. The question would be, is he mutter in the tris trufa? Maybe he's in fact only also in sachna, only like for example sardines, where you find where you find some of them are whole and some of them are broken up, but not necessarily mashed up fish like tuna fish. And the Gemara says Tiboy, it's left as a question, it's teku. And again, we have to be machmer on it, given that Nidorim are Doras. Mishnah says, Hanodim in a cholov, person makes a neder that he's not going to drink milk, mutter b'koin. He's allowed to have the koin. Most of the mafoshim over here explain, the Ran, the Rosh, all explain that koin means whey. Whey, the liquid that comes out when you churn milk to make butter, or when you curdle milk to make cheese, you have a liquid that comes out of it, which is mostly clear, but it has some of the proteins and whatever of milk in it. It's called whey. Sometimes you have, you know, you look in the ingredients of some things, you find some things on the shelf that are dairy or chol of Yisrael or chol of stam or chol of akum or whatever you want to call them. Many times you'll find that whey is an ingredient in them. So now the Mishnah is saying that if you make a neder not to drink milk, you will be allowed to drink koim, because again, we don't holochacha loshim ne'odam, and in loshim ne'odam, koim whey is not called milk. The Ravid, by the way, has a different understanding of koim. He says that it means milk that is kofui. Kofui could mean that what floats to the top. So he would understand that it means more like the curds that float to the top of milk. Kofui can also mean frozen. So he might mean something like frozen milk or something like ice cream or something like that. Whatever the case, the Mishnah is saying that he's mutter in it. Rav Yossi oiser, on the other hand, Rav Yossi says he's oser, and we're going to see in the Gemara why Rav Yossi would say that. Minakoim mutter b'cholov, vice versa, if he says that he's not going to have koim, that he's allowed to drink milk, because again, milk is not included in koim. The Mefarish printed under Rashi's name says that everybody would agree to that. Even Rabbi Yossi, who says that koim is included in milk, is not going to say the other way around. Milk is not included under the term koim. On the other hand, the Ran says that we're going to have later on a braisa where Rabbi Yossi seems to say differently, and the reason the Gemara is going to end up explaining the machlokas, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi is not a fundamental machlokas as far as dinim. It's more, I mean, it comes out in the din, but it's more because of the different terminology that they used in different places. In Rabbi Yossi's area, they would call it koima de chalava, the koim of milk. Therefore, the Ran says Rabbi Yossi would say that koim and chalav have a certain association. So if you make a neder from one, then you're going to be also in the other one. The Mishnah continues. Abba Sholom, Hanoda min Agvina, if a person makes a neder not to eat cheese, also Bob ben Melucho Tvela, then he will be also in any kind of cheese, whether it's salted or unsalted. Even though the Ran points out most cheeses are salted, so you would think then that he makes a neder not to have vina, then automatically it would include only the salted ones. No, you still say that in fact both of them are also. All of them are going to be also. Continues the Mishnah. Hanodim and Abbasar, person makes a neder not to eat meat. Mutter beroitiv, he will be allowed to eat the gravy or the sauce that the meat was cooked in. Over kefir, he will also be mutter to eat the kefir. A couple of definitions of what kefir is. The Ran explains that it means the little shreds of meat that fall down to the bottom of the pot. So the point is, in other words, again, in Loshen B'nai Adam, obviously those are meat. You eat them, for example, you're going to be fleshed. But in Loshen B'nai Adam, people don't call those basar, people call those kefir. There's a couple of other different definitions that we've shown him give of what kefir is. The Rosh explains that it means it means also not just the shreds of meat, but also the gravy that gathers together and hardens together at the bottom of the pot. So that would be included in kefir. The Rambam gives an explanation, and the Mefarish over here seems to say something similarly, that it means the spices that you cook together with the meat. So obviously those are not meat, those are only the spices. It sounds like, according to the Rambam, the actual shreds of meat would be also, because the fact is they're meat. The only thing that would be mutter is things like the spices, which are not actually the meat itself. But the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda oiser, Rabbi Yehuda says it's also. The Ran has a different girsa, not Rabbi Yehuda, but rather Rabbi Yosi oiser. Because those are considered, because after all, they came out of something which is also. Later on, now we're going to learn at the bottom of Nun Beis and Amud Beis, Rava is going to draw a distinction between something that came out of something that was a substance that came out of something that was also before the neder was made on it versus afterwards. So in fact, over here we could say Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda could be saying that it would be also on that basis, because only after you made the neder did this roitiv and kefir come out from the meat. So therefore, it would be similar to that. On the other hand, Tosfos says something. Tosfos says the words that the Kosovo Heva Timer, that he says that it and its flavor are also. And so, and the Keren Oda explains from that that actually Rabbi Yehuda would also it, even if doesn't matter whether it came out before or after he was Noder, because after all, he said he's assuring himself in Bosser, and therefore that's going to include anything that has the flavor of Bosser. So the Gemara, so the Mishnah continues, Amar Rav Yehuda, so if it was Rav Yehuda in the previous line, then it's Rav Yehuda bringing a proof for his own words. If you say that in the previous line it was Rav Yossi, then Rav Yehuda wants to bring a proof for Rav Yossi's opinion. So anyway, he says, Maisav also alayna Rav Tarfon, it happened once that somebody had made a neder not to eat meat. And Rav Tarfon, who was Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe, asked on us the baits and shinis bashlimoi, that he asked us also to eat eggs that were cooked together with the meat. So you see from that, says Rabbi Yehuda, that things that have the flavor, now the eggs themselves are obviously not meat, but they have the flavor of meat in them. And you see they're also. So by the same token, what we said in the previous line, that Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi is going to say it's also that it's also to eat the gravy or the kefir. Then yeah, that based on what Rav Tarfon is telling us, that would be correct. How can you Chachamim say that that it would be mutter? Omru loy. So the other Chachamim answered Rav Yehuda, Kena Dover. You're right. It's true that it's true that Rav Tarfon said that. But the difference is Amasai. But when is that talking about? Bisman shiyem a boser ze olai. Only if to begin with he had said this meat is also to be. Because then, in effect, by saying that, he's making that piece of meat called Chatich Shabya Nafsha Chatich de Isura, he made that for himself, that piece of meat is considered Osir. So then, yes, we agree that anything that comes out of it, any flavor that comes out of it, is going to be Osir. But in the case that we were talking about in the Mishnah before, where a person just says that I'm making a neder not to eat meat, so he's not saying that any individual piece of meat is a chaticha di isura on him. He's saying that he won't eat what people call meat. Well, people don't call eggs that are cooked with meat. So therefore, they're telling Rabbi Yehuda, we certainly believe what you told us in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, but you're misapplying what the circumstance was. And they continue in the Mishnah. Now the rule would be if a person makes a neder not to eat a certain thing, and then that thing gets mixed up with other things, im yesh bo benoisin tam, also if there is enough of it to give a flavor, then it will be also. And again, the reason is because he asked himself in one particular thing. That particular thing now becomes a dover also to him. So therefore, so any flavor that comes out of it is also. But that's the scenario that your story with her Tarfon is referring to, not the case where he said that meat in general is also to him. We have them, and there's a whole section of Shulchan Aruch called Hilchos Tarumis that deals that runs to some 14 simonim that deals with these kinds of things. Of mixtures and nois and tam. Plus, of course, you have a lot about it in Hilchos Basar v'Cholov and Hilchos Chametz and different other places in Shulchan Aruch. We know you have in general, we say that for something to give flavor, usually it has to be at least 1/60th of the mixture. You have the concept of batel b'shishim. In principle, the Gemara explains in Cholin, and it's brought in these halachas in Shulchan Aruch. In principle, you could have somebody taste the food and see whether it has the flavor in it. In the case of taruvus, of something that might be osir, for example, if you have basar b'chalav or if you have a treif that may have gotten mixed in with kosher, in principle, you could have a goyish chef taste it and see whether he tastes it, whether he detects a flavor. Although it says in Shulchan that Amar brings in Shulchan Aruch, and in practice, we don't rely on that. We just go according to shishim always. You can also have cases of things that are mutter to one person, that are mutter to one yid, that are mixed into something else. An example would be, let's say, if truma mixed into cholin, there you could have a koyin taste it and see if it has a flavor. But in general, the basic idea is batel b'shishim. The Gemara elsewhere brings an interesting point where we get shishim from. The next Masechta after this one, we're going to learn is Masechta Nazir, Be'ez Hashem, and we're going to talk over there about the korbanos that a Nazir brings. One of them is he at the end of his Nazirus, he brings a shlomim, he brings a ram as a shlomim, and the pasuk says after he cooks the shlomim, then he takes the right front leg of the animal and gives that and waves that together with a couple of the other things that he brings over there and gives them to the Kohen. So the point is, in other words, that right front leg becomes in effect, it's also to him. It's only mutter to the Kohen. And yet, to begin with, they were all cooked together. The Chachamim figured out that that right front leg amounts to 1/60th of the volume of the animal. Therefore, based on that, they came up with the concept of batel b'shishim. Midaraisa, by the way, you wouldn't need that in various places. The Gemara explains that midaraisa, it would be enough to be batel b'roi if it's only d'rabbanan that you need 1/60. Anyway, the point is, going back to the Mishnah, so if he said in general meat is also to me, then fine, there's no particular piece of meat that you can say is also to him, therefore we only go according to Lashon Bnei Adam. In Lashon Bnei Adam, meat means the actual meat itself, not gravy or spices or whatever that were cooked with it. But what if he says this particular piece, then we have to consider the matter of bittul, and if it's nice and tam, then it's going to answer whatever else was cooked with it. So now the Ran gets into a very long discussion over here, and one where he discusses where he comes up with a great chiddush that everybody after him always brings and discusses and in matters of halacha. The question becomes. On the face of it, nedarim are a davish yesh lematir. We're going to, in fact, have a Gemara about it in exactly a week, Bez Hashem, on Daf Nun Tes, where the Gemara is going to point out that nedarim are a davish yesh lematir. So that being the case, now we know there's the rule that a davar sheyesh lematirin, when you have something that eventually is going to be mutter, then it's never batel. There's no such thing as bittel with it. So that being the case, then why are we talking over here? Why are we even talking over here about bittul? So the Rosh actually over there brings from a Yerushalmi that says that disagrees and says that maybe that the Nedarim are not really considered davar sheyesh lematirin, but the Ran is following the Girsa. In fact, he brings over here from a Yerushalmi in that connection that actually explicitly says, according to his Girsa, that Nedarim are considered davar sheyesh lematirin. So first the Ran starts talking about that maybe you could say, when is davar sheyesh lematirin? And the reason, by the way, now the first reason why davar sheyesh lematirin is not batel, Rashi mentions in Beitza. You have it in connection with one example, classic example of davar sheyesh lematirin is an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, where it's going to be mutter after Yom Tov. And the idea is that Rashi explains over there, ad shetechlanu beheter, shetechlanu beiser, shetechlanu beheter. What's your hurry to eat this egg, davka on Yom Tov, when it's still osir? Wait until after Yom Tov, and then it'll be mutter. So even it got mixed up with other eggs, why should we say that it's batel? The fact is, you're going to end up eating on Yom Tov an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, which is osir. You may as well wait a few hours, Yom Tov will be over, and then everything will be mutter. So therefore, the Chachamim did not want to allow it to be batel under those circumstances. So the Ran says over here, you could argue that maybe that only applies min b'minay. For example, an egg mixed with other eggs. Not necessarily over here, you're talking about different things. You're talking about eggs cooked together with meat. So then maybe it would be mutter. However, then the Ran says, now, the problem with that is, so we could say that. However, the problem with that is like this. He brings from the Rif. Suppose you have, if you bake bread to get in the oven together with flakes. So the din is that bread, we say, has absorbed the taste of meat that was cooked or roasted with it in the same oven, and therefore the result is that bread will be also to eat with milchiks. Now, usually we would say reicha lav milsehi. We would say why is the bread also to eat with milchiks? It absorbed an aroma, but so what? The aroma is not considered anything as far as halacha. The reason is the Rif says because it's davar sheyesh lematirin. Because again. After all, you could, there's no reason you have to eat the bread together with milchiks. You could just as well eat it with fleishiks, and therefore you have a way to eat it that is mutter, and therefore the Chachamim are not going to allow you to eat it in a way that's also. Now that implies, in other words, of course, that it's that we're talking even shaloi b'minay, right? Because they were talking about the aroma of the meat that's absorbed into the bread. So what's going on over here? Another data point that the Ran brings up is something that we also learned in Beitza at the end of the Masechta. So in Beitza, there's two major places where it talks about this whole matter of Dover Shiesh Matir. One at the beginning of the Masechta in connection with eggs, and another one at the end of the Masechta. Now, at the end of Beitza, it talks about, we learned last year, that not only people have a Tchum Shabbos, but objects have a Tchum Shabbos, meaning that it's more relevant to Yom Tov than to Shabbos, which is why it's primarily discussed in Masechta Beitza. But if I own something, then that thing can only be transported on Yom Tov only within the area that I myself would be allowed to walk on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah there describes a case where you have a woman is preparing a batch of dough. She borrows from one of her neighbors water and salt to make the dough. So then the din is that the resulting bread can be taken only to the places where both of them have their tchum in common. So let's say one of them lives in the city and the other one lives in the next city, 1,000 amas over. They're only going to be able to transport this bread in the area between the two cities and only you'd only have the only overlapping area as far as their tchum would be 1,000 amas in the other direction outside of the city, whatever the point is. In other words, they can't go further than that, because then it'll be out of the domain of one or the other of them. If the two of them are 2,000 amas apart, then the result is you wouldn't be able to move the dough at all. Anyway, the Gemara there discusses why that should be. Why aren't the water and salt bottled to the dough? And the Gemara gives several answers over there, one of them being an answer of Rav Ashi, because Dover Shiesh L'Matir. Now, isn't that Min B'Sheine Minun? The Ran says maybe that's not a problem, because after all, the dough can't be made without those, so therefore it can be Min B'Minun. The question so far is, when do we say that Dover Shiesh L'Matir is not bottled? Is it only when it's min b'minoi, or is it even when min b'she'en minoi? So the Ran goes on to say that it's like this. You have to ask b'chlal, so the Ran says, we have to discuss why would there be, why is there a special thing about Dover Shiesh L'Matirin at all? So we have Rashi's reason because Ad Shetechlanu Beheter, Ad Shetechlanu Beisur, Techlanu Beheter. But the Ran is looking for another reason. And in fact, Achronim talk about cases where the Ran's reason would apply and Rashi's wouldn't. Anyway, the Ran says like this. You have a machloikas b'chla. When it comes to min b'minoi and min b'she'ene minoi, you have a machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim whether min b'minoi is bottle at all. Now you have like this. The Gemara tells us in Yuma, that during the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, in the course of the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he shechts a par and takes the blood into the basin, into the heichel, and sprinkles it over there. He shechts a soyer and does the same thing. At one point, after he's sprinkled the blood of the par and the soyer individually, then he takes the two basins of blood, he mixes up the blood, and then he applies it to more places on the Mizbeach. Now, a par has a much greater volume of blood than a soyer, and you still say that you see that the blood of the par is not mevatel the blood of the soyer. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, from that you learn min b'mino is not bottle at all. So not just in that particular case, but in any case, across the board, whenever you have blood mixed with blood or other kinds of things, or any other kind of substance, where you have, let's say, kosher milk and treif milk mixed or whatever, then the din would be the same thing, that they're not bottled. The Chachamim disagree with him. So now the Ran says an amazing chiddush. He says the Chachamim agree with the concept that min b'mino shouldn't be bottled. However, the Chachamim say, don't look at the physical mitzius of the thing. Look rather at the din of it. When you have two things that have, when you have, after all, with the blood of the par and the blood of the soyer, they may both be blood, but they have different dinim. They're needed for different purposes. Therefore, you can say that one is not mevatel the other. But when you have two things that not only are similar as far as the type of thing, but also they have a difference as a similarity as far as both being mutter, or both having a degree of being mutter, then you can say in fact that one is not bottle and the other. So in the case of the dough, fine, you could say because water and salt are essential, without them you don't have a dough, so that might be different. But But anyway, so for example, so now what happens when you look at Dovash Yesh L'Matirin? You can't. So now you have one substance which is Osir. Returning, let's say, for example, to our case of Nedarim. So you have one substance which is Osir. You said this piece of meat is Osir to me. Then you have another substance which is Mutter, which is the eggs. Now, the one that is Osir itself has a degree of being Mutter in it already, because it's a Dovash Yesh L'Matirin, because you're able to be Matir Neder, and therefore the meat will be Mutter to you. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to say, given now that you have two things, it's true they're not the same, it's true they're not the same min physically, but they're the same min halachically, because they both have a degree of being mutter to them. One is completely mutter, the eggs. The other one could be mutter, if you're mater neder, the meat. And therefore, there's enough of a commonality between them. So they're going to say to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, we agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'minoy is not bottle. But you're looking at min b'minoy according to the physical reality. One is blood and the other one is blood, whereas you would say it's different with meat and eggs. We would say the difference is not so much the physical reality, but rather the halachic reality. So since one of them is completely mutter and the other one is capable of being mutter by being Dovash Yesh L'Matirin, then that would be a reason for one not to be bottle and the other.
So
in the case of the blood, the fact is the Torah tells us to sprinkle blood of the parah and blood of the sire, and then to mix them. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to say that there you can't say one is mevatel the other, because each one has a different din. Each one has its own place where it needs to be sprinkled, and afterwards they need to be sprinkled together.
But if one of us is tummy, then it would.
If one is tummy and the other is tahor, then yeah, then you can't sprinkle tummy blood anyhow. But yeah.
Case to the blood. So how is the comparison?
The point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying across the board, min b'mino is never bottle. He says, where do I learn that from? From the case of the blood. The Chachamim disagree and say min b'mino is bottle, but the Ran is saying they would say min b'mino can be bottle when all they have in common is their physicality, but not when they have the din in common.
Except
over here, you have... So
that would explain.
So now what happens is in the case of the dough, for example, in the case of the water and the salt that goes into the dough. So as a matter of fact, yeah, actually what you have is that the flour that went into the dough was mutter to go in one place. The water and salt that goes into the dough was mutter in another place. Therefore, they're both concerned. And after Yom Tov, of course, they're going to be mutter to go everywhere. So therefore, again, you can say they're not butter. You don't need the reason because you can't make dough without water and salt. You can apply the reason that the Ran is saying because each one has a degree of heter to it. And then he goes on to say that... He goes on to say, so now returning to, we said before, for example, you bake bread in an oven together when meat is roasting in the oven at the same time. So the point is, therefore, it would be the bread already has a heter to it. You don't have to eat it with milchiks. You could eat it with fleishiks. Therefore, it's considered similar to a Dovash Yesh L'Matirin. It's not that it's also now and will become mutter later, but it's something which right now has a way of heter. So again, you would have Rashi, Svara, and Beitza that Ad Shetechlana Be'isur, Techlana Be'heter. You may as well eat it in a way that's mutter rather than relying on bittul. Whereas according to the Ran Svara, the vote is it can't be bottle. It comes out, by the way, according to Rashi, Svara, that the whole concept of Dovash Yesh L'Matirin not being bottle might be only Dirabonah. Midaraisi, you would say anything is bottle when you have a roiv. Midarabanan, we're going to say when you have something which anyway, wait a few hours or wait till circumstances change and whatever, and you'll be able to eat it. Then we would say, do that. According to the Ran Svara, rather, we would say that the whole concept of Dovash Yesh L'Matirin not being bottle would actually be Daraisa. Because according to him, the vote is, we're learning, where the Chachamim are agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. We can learn it from the Dama Par and Dama Sir, but we're learning it differently than he is. We're not looking at the fact one's blood and the other's blood. We're looking at the respective dinim of them, and that tells us what the reality of it is. And since, just like over there, the fact that one is not mevatel the other is daraisa, the same way we would say over here that it's daraisa. So the bottom line is, the Ran says, so applying that to our case over here, again, the idea would be that since the eggs themselves would have been mutter, because after all, he didn't make a neder against eggs, the meat, on the other hand, is osir until he's matur neder. And we're going to say that the fact that you can be matur neder makes it Dovash Yesh L'Matirin. Because of that, even though eggs and meat are two different physical realities, nevertheless, one cannot be bottle in the other. And the result is both of them are going to be, if you cook the eggs together with the meat, both of them are going to be also on this ground of that both of them have, that both of them have a commonality. One is mutter and the other one will be mutter as soon as you matter neder. And that's reason enough to say that one can't be mevatel the other.
So when you say you won't eat meat, you're allowed to eat the eggs.
So if you, that's the difference. So if you say you won't eat meat, then it means what Loshem Ne'adam calls meat, which is not going to include the flavor of meat. On the other hand, when you say, I'm not going to eat this piece of meat, this particular chaticha, then you've made it chaticha de isura. And now the result is that the egg cannot be mevatel, the taste that comes from it, because now we have this whole point of davar sheyesh lamatirin. Yeah. So this chiddush of the Ranz is brought by all the later poskim bring it, Taz and the Shach bring it in Hilchos Ta'aruvos. Different other chronim talk about it in different other contexts. They talk about all kinds of details in it. Why we need two reasons, why we need the Rashi's reason and the Ran's reason, what cases are there where one of the reasons might apply and not the other, and so on and so forth. But this chiddush of the Ran's is very well accepted in halacha. And this is, you learn, you wouldn't think, you know, you're thinking of Hilchos Ta'aruvos, you would think, you know, the natural places to look for dinim about it are going to be in Chulin and in Psachim and in different places like that. And, you know, then you come across the Gemara in the middle of Nedarim, and you find a very important point about it that the Ran makes.
So Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about the reason.
So not Rashi and Rashi and the Ran. Rashi and the Ran, yeah, arguing about the reason behind davar sheyesh lamatirin. Everybody agrees of davar sheyesh lamatirin. It says in the Gemara, they're both Rishonim, they can't argue with it. But they're arguing about the rationale behind it. Rashi says the reason is because instead of eating it beheter, wait and eat it, and instead of eating it beisur, wait and eat it beheter. For example, according to Rashi, the reason why we would say over here that the eggs would be also is because why should you eat the egg that has flavor of meat in it, which is also to you, be matu neder, and then everything will be mutter to you, and then
the meat and the egg.
According to the Ran, the reason is because both of them have.
Substance.
Not because they're both the same substance, okay, because both of them have the same halachic status. One is mutter and the other will be mutter as soon as you're matur neder, and therefore that's reason enough for one to not be mevatel the other.
Even the one is mutter still isn't really us because it's
right now it's also, but it has the capability of becoming mutter by him being matur neder, and therefore it wouldn't be.
If they both have the same green light and some red light. You need matter neder, both will come good.
That's the point. But right now, so therefore, even right now, the one that is also the meat already is considered to have a degree of heter to it. Enough that the Ran is learning it can't be bottle in something else which is completely mutter. If you had something which is completely also and there's no way of making it mutter, then you could talk about it being bottle in something of heter. You have, let's say, for example, a little bit of treif of meat falls into a pot of kosher meat. The treif of meat is never going to become mutter. So then you can talk about bittul, but not when
it never become bottle.
Treif of meat, yeah, can become bottle. Bottle b'shishim. Bottle b'shishim is yours. Yeah, it could because it's also isur versus heter. Yeah. Okay, continues the Mishnah. A person makes a neder that he's not going to drink wine. Mutter b'tavshol sheyesh b'tam yayin. Then he's allowed to drink, then he's allowed to eat a tavshol. He's allowed to eat a cooked dish that has a flavor of wine in it. Because again, nodim and ayayin means only what Loshem Adam calls wine, which is only when it's be'ed, not when it's mixed with something else. On the other hand, konam yayin zesh ani toyim. But if he says a konam on this wine that I won't taste, So here we have Yayin Zeh. Actually, the Ran seems to not have the word Zeh in it. So he says Koinam Yayin Shani Toyim the Nuffel of Tavshel, and then that wine falls into a Tavshel Im Yeshba Benoisi Tamar is also. Then again, if it gives a flavor to the Tavshel, then it will be also because then again you have what we just said as far as Bittul. As far as the fact that since it's a davar sheyesh lamatirin, then once it gives a flavor, then once it gives a flavor, it's going to be also. So in other words, the idea is not even so much the matter of bittul or not. He says shani. The Ran explains. He says shani toyim that I won't taste it. Well, he's tasting it. Therefore, that's a problem.
What does that make a big difference in this case?
So then that, because he said shani toyim, because in the previous case with meat and eggs, he didn't say anything about shani toyim. Here we're mentioning a new factor. If he says shani toyim, then when you have a flavor of it, then so that's the thing. If we said Yayin Zeh, then the rule ought to be like the same as the previous one. We ought to say that's not Bottle regardless. But the point is that he just said Yayin Shani Toyim. He didn't mention a particular batch of wine, but he said Shani Toyim, that I won't taste it. Well, he's tasting it, therefore we have a problem. So if he doesn't taste it, then it's not a problem.
Okay. He's tasting the wine also.
Right. Yeah. So the Gemara,
even though when a person says taste it, he's referring to not the tashlum, I'm referring to tasting wine.
No, but that's the thing. No, but that's the thing. When he says that I won't taste it, we're meant to understand that it means anything that will have a taste of wine in it is going to be also to him. So therefore that's going to include this. So the Gemara asks, Ramin, I have a contradiction on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is saying in the Mishnah that if a person makes a neder not to drink milk, then he's also in the koyim. He's also in the way of the milk or the or frozen milk or whatever, according to the different definitions. Or a minu. The Gemara says that's a contradiction, though. A braisa says, min ha'adoshim, a person makes a neder that he won't eat lentils. Also, ba'ashishim, he's also in ashishim. What are ashishim? The Ran brings from the Yerushalmi that it means it's a recipe where they took lentils and mixed them with honey and fried them. The Ran defines that it means that the lentils, maybe they're ground up, he doesn't say one way or the other, but they're mixed with honey and fried. The other Mephoshim over here, the Rosh and Tosfos explain, rather, so the Mephoresh printed under Rashi's name, says Kemach Shal, means Lechem, Shema Ura Boi Kemach Shal Adoshim, bread that has flour that has lentil flour mixed into it. You grind up lentils to make something like flour, and you mix it into the bread. The Mephoresh printed under Rashi's name would define that that's the definition of Ashishim. The Rosh and Tosfos rather say that Ashishim means something that's made out of the psoilus of adoshim, out of the waste, maybe the shells or something, of lentils. Anyway, so the braisa says he's also in them, v'Rab Yossi matur, whereas Rab Yossi says it's mutter. So now, according to the Ran, the question is, if you're telling me Rab Yossi is not going to allow you to drink koyim when you made a neder on milk, then why is he allowing you to eat ashishim when those have lentils in them? According to the Rosh and Tosfos, the question is, if we're saying that even the psoilus of them if Rabbi Yossi is saying that the psoilus, that the waste of the lentils, is not included in the category of lentils, then why would he say that the koyim, which is in effect the waste product of the milk, why should that be included in the category of milk?
The koyim is
the waste product. When you make cheese, then you have the whey that flows out of them. So the answer is loy kasha, mar ki asri or mar ki asri. So the answer is not really a machlokas in the din as far as the milk and the koyim. It's more, I mean, it is a machlokas in the din, but it's not really an underlying machlokas. It's rather marki asri or marki asri. Each one goes according to the way things are done in his area. But asri, the rabbanon kora l'chelba chelba or l'koyma koyma. In the chachamim's area, milk was called milk and koyim was called koyim. So therefore, the chachamim say that one doesn't include the other. But asri, the rabbi yasi l'koyma nami kora l'koyma d'chelba. In Rabbi Yossi's area, when they spoke of koyim, they called it koyim of milk. So therefore, he says that when you make a neder on milk, then it includes koyim as well. And again, by the same logic, the Ran says, therefore, if he makes a neder from koyim, it's also going to include milk for the same reason in reverse. Whereas we said before, the Mefarish, the printed under Rashi's name, disagrees with that and says even Rabbi Yossi would agree that if you make a neder from koyim, you're mutter in milk, because they only call it koyma of milk, but not milk itself. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we talked in the, we, so the Gemara brings a braisa. Tanya, hanodim in a cholov, of course he makes a neder not to drink milk, mutter b'koyim, then he's mutter to drink the koyim, like the chachamim say, min ha-koyim mutter b'cholov, and vice versa, if he makes a neder from koyim, then he's allowed to drink milk, min ha-cholov mutter b'gvina. Similarly, the braisa gives more details, person makes a neder that he's not going to have milk, he's allowed to eat cheese. I mean, a gvinah mutter b'cholov. If he makes a neder not to eat cheese, then he's allowed to drink milk. Because again, loshem ne'adam doesn't cheese is not included under the word cholov, and vice versa. I mean, a roitev mutter b'kifa. If he makes a neder that he's not going to eat roitev, that he's not going to eat the gravy that meat was cooked in, then he is allowed to eat the kifa. Which is, we had the various definitions of kifa before. We said the Ran said it means the shreds of meat that fall to the bottom of the pot. We said that the Rosh says it means the liquid that congeals at the bottom of the pot. So in other words, even though it's part of the Reutiv originally, but it congeals at the bottom, therefore it's not considered Reutiv anymore. And according to the Rambam, it would mean the spices and then condiments and whatever that are put in the pot. So again, those are not considered part of the Reutiv. And vice versa. If he makes a neder not to eat kefir, then he's allowed to eat the gravy. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, if he says this meat is also to me, also boy over Reutiv over kefir, then he's going to be also in the meat itself and the gravy and the kefir, because like we talked about in Oman Aleph, now you have the problem that the meat itself is a chaticha di isura for him. And as we discussed, that the Dovash Yesh Lamatirin, and therefore it can't be bottled. Because you can be matur by being matur net.
Therefore
it can't be matur. Because therefore the flavor of it can't be bottled, even if any flavor of it can't be bottled.
So everything will be
awesome. Then if a person makes a neder not to drink wine, mutter b'tabshul sheyesh b'tam yayin, then as the Mishnah had said, he's mutter in a tabshul that has a flavor of wine, because he only made a neder not to drink wine, and therefore it's only what Loshem Bnei Adam calls wine. Once it's in a tabshul, people don't think of it as wine anymore. Oma konam yayin zeh she'eni toyim. On the other hand, if he says a konam on this wine that I won't taste, v'nafal osech ha'tabshul, and it falls into a pot, im yesh b'tam yayin, now it is also, then if it has a flavor of wine, it'll be also, because then he made it clear. So again, if we have the girsa zeh, right, then the problem is that then it should be also whether it has a flavor or not. So therefore, we have to take out the word zeh, as the Ran does, and therefore what it's saying is only if he, so he said, I won't taste wine. So there, since he said the word taste, right, then it means even anything that has a flavor of wine.
He said it won't eat.
But if he said, I won't eat this wine, then we would say before, about Dabar Shiesh Tanatirin, that it wouldn't matter whether it has a flavor of wine or not. Wouldn't matter, because either way, it's a Dabar Shiesh Tanatirin, and a Dabar Shiesh Tanatirin would not be bottled.
And that would include a pot.
So then it would include everything that's in the pot. Yeah, so include everything in the tapshul. With that said, by the way, you know, when we talked before about the Rashi's versus the Ran's reasons for Dovash Yesh Lamatirin not being bottled, one thing is they talk about, in some Lomdash Sforim on the subject, they talk about there may be a difference that we need one reason versus the other when it comes to Lach B'Lach versus Yavish B'Yavish. You think about it, when you have liquid mixed with liquid, then the one liquid that gets poured into the other loses its identity completely. On the other hand, yavish b'yavish, when you have dry mixed with dry, the fact is each one stands on its own. In theory, you could even pick out the one that was also, if you recognize it, you just may not be able to recognize it. Yeah, so therefore, you may have a difference in that regard between, before we talked about meat, which is a solid, here we're talking about wine, which is a liquid, so there might in fact be a difference, and maybe we can justify the word zeh, after all, that only if he said this wine, that even if he said this wine is also, maybe we wouldn't apply the same rule, because when it comes to liquids, maybe the rules of Dovash Yesh Lamatirin, maybe the rules are different. There is some discussion at that point. Okay, Mishnah says, Hanoda min ha'anovim, person makes a neder, he's not going to have hanov from grapes, mutter b'yayin, then he's allowed to drink wine, because again, in Loshim Ne'odim, grapes means grapes.
Grapes.
A nazir is different. A nazir is a special case. The Torah imposes on him not to eat either one. But each one is a separate lav. In fact, if he eats grapes and drinks wine, he's over on two separate lav. But here we're talking about a regular neder. I mean, as zaysin mutter b'shemen, and similarly, if he makes a neder not to eat olives, he's mutter in the oil. An interesting point is there is a certain chiddush in that, because we find in many areas of halacha, we say that grape juice or wine and olive oil have almost the status of the actual fruits they came from. You have, for example, as far as bikurim, you can't have, let's say, for example, that one of the shivas aminim that you can bring for bikurim is pomegranate, but you can't bring pomegranate juice as bikurim. On the other hand, the halacha is you are allowed to bring wine or oil as bikurim. You have other examples as well. Only wine and oil have a bracha similar to the fruit they came from. We know most juices, apple juice, orange juice, etc., are all downgraded to shakol. But you have grape juice has a special bracha of its own, bar priyagafen. Oil, the Gemara tells us in brachas, in principle, ought to have the bracha bar priyates, except that practically speaking, you don't really come across it very often, because you don't drink oil by itself. It's not good for you. The only way the Gemara, and usually if you're having it as part of something else, it's usually tuffle to the something else. So the Gemara describes a scenario there. A person has a sore throat and he has a certain kind of food. The Gemara calls it a nigra and a xigra and various kinds of soups that have a lot of oil in them. We're there. He's drinking them mainly for the oil, mainly for the benefit for his throat. And in fact, he would make a bura priha eitz on the oil in those cases. So only wine and oil have a special status in halacha compared to other fruit juices. So you would think that maybe when he makes a neder not to eat grapes, it should include the wine, the same way as if he wanted to bring wine instead of grapes for bikurim, he could. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that no, it's not that way. On the other hand, but if he says that I won't taste these olives or these grapes, then he will be also in them as well as in what comes out. Wait, so that's a now. The Gemara says, "Boy, you don't elu davka oishaini toyim davka." What is the key thing that makes the difference over here? Is it the fact that he said elu? So then it would be similar to what we said before about saying meat is also versus this piece of meat is also. Or would it be the fact that he said shani toyim that I won't taste it? Where therefore the grape juice or the olive oil has the taste of the olives or the grapes in it. So the Ran explains, there's no question. Rami Bachama knows you don't need to say both of them. You don't need to say both Eilu and She'eni Toyim. It's enough to say one. But which is the key one that will make it that the grape juice or the olive oil is going to be also? So the Gemara answers, Isakudai Dech Eilu Davka. You have to ask if elu was enough to make the juice also she'eni toyim lamali. Then why would the Mishnah even mention the words she'eni toyim? So wouldn't that show that the eni toyim is the key thing, not the word elu? The Gemara says not necessarily, because you could say the answer is the Gemara says hokamash malon de afagav she'omer eni toyim. No, because you could say what the Mishnah means is just the opposite. Even though he says she'eni toyim, and that would imply maybe that includes anything that has a taste of it. E de'omer elu mitzah ve'iloi loy. Only if he says elu, only then would it be osur for him. Would he be osur to eat the juice to drink the juice that comes out of the peris and otherwise not. So in other words, you could understand you could say the Mishnah could have said that the Mishnah is saying that if he says one or the other it's osur, but you could also say that maybe the Mishnah is mentioning she'eni toyim specifically to tell us that the key point is whether you say elu or not. If you were to say zeisim anovim she'eni toyim, maybe you would be mutter to drink the juice from them. And the point, the Rosh makes a point actually that unlike we talked before about gravy from meat or whatever, the juice that comes out of grapes and olives, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, is actually mifkad pocket. It's like as if it was like in a container inside the fruit. It's not really considered part of the fruit per se. It's sort of like as if the fruit is a shell around it, right? So you can't prove, but Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava says, okay, but let's bring a proof from later on. We're going to learn in the Masechta and then in the next Perek. Koinam Perasa Elo Alai. A person says, a koinam, these fruit will be also to me. Also, or koinam hain lafi, or he says, there'll be a koinam for my mouth. Also, bechilufein of gidulehem. He'll be also in anything that's exchanged for them, that he sells the fruits and uses it to buy something else, as well as gidulehem, if he plants seeds from this fruit and they grow. Now, the Mishnah didn't say anything about the liquid that comes from them. So, habiyotz mehen mutter. So, wouldn't that imply that the juice that comes out of them would be mutter? And the Ran, by the way, mentions the Mishnah does later on say koinim peiros elu alai, than what we're quoting over here. So we see that the word elu is enough to ask for things that come out of them. But the Ran says the fact is chilufein and gidulehen might be included because once he said these fruit are also to me as a koinam, he makes them in effect hektish. Well then chilufein and gidulehen would be the equivalent of chilufim and gidulim of hektish, which are also going to be also. But when he says shani oichel, or when he says shani toyim, maybe on the contrary, he means I won't eat these things themselves, but I'll eat the chilufein and gidulehen. So therefore, so uh, he's not actually tasting anything of them. So therefore, but Rava is saying, the fact is, you do have that Mishnah that says, Peter sa elu eno alai, ha elu alai, and we're saying he's also in chilufein and gidulein, ha bi yotzimehen mutter. So the implication is he is mutter to eat what comes out of them. The Gemara says that's not a solid proof, because hu adin da'afilu bi yotzimehen osur, you could say that maybe in fact he is also even in the things that come out of them. The reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention it, because in the ratio of that Mishnah does not say that in the ratio of the Mishnah, it doesn't say that if he says Elu, that he should be also in the liquid that come out of them. Therefore, the Mishnah doesn't use the word Yotzimahan in the Sefer either, because the Mishnah wants to keep it parallel. I skipped a few lines over here, actually. Sorry. Toshma konami also bechlofenu halbi yotzmehen mutter. The answer is hu adin daftilu biyotzmehen osur. No, you could say that actually, even when he says peiros sa'elu alai, maybe what comes out of them, the juice that comes out of them, is osur. V'ha difalei lashmin and dechlofen kibbelein dami. The Mishnah wanted to tell us the bigger chiddush that we should realize. That chilufehen is just like gidulehen. Even though gidulim comes from the actual issur and chilufim don't, because you traded in the thing for something else, nevertheless, we would still say that it's osur. But the Mishnah is not addressing what comes out of it. Maybe, in fact, what comes out of it is osur, but the Mishnah, the juice that comes out of it, but the Mishnah didn't tell us that because there's not much of a chidush. But the Gemara says Toshma. Let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. She'eni oichol she'eni toyim. Not if he said peiros elu, but if he said that I won't eat them and I won't taste them. Mutar b'chilufeinu gidulehen. Then he's allowed to eat the chilufim and the gidulim, because again, then like the Ran says, then he said I'm not going to taste them. Well, chilufim and gidulim are not them. So therefore, it'd be mutar. Ha hayotzimehen osur. But the implication would be that what comes out of them, the juice that comes out of them, is osur. So wouldn't that be a proof? And the answer is no, because you could say, I did the Lenosib Resha Yotzmehen, Lenosib Nam Besefer Yotzmehen. No, since the Resha didn't mention Yotzmehen, and the reason is because there wasn't much of a Chiddush in it there, then the Mishnah preferred to tell us the bigger Chiddush, that Chilufim, that when you exchange the fruit for money, it's considered like Gibulim. So therefore, in the Sefer, it doesn't mention Yotzmehen either, to keep things parallel. So no proof one way or the other, really. In other words, the Tosfos says the expression that, like, the Gemara is, no matter which way you want to go in that Mishnah, that it's pushing you off and saying you don't have a solid proof. You could say that Yotzimahem should have been mentioned in the Resha and should have been mentioned in the Sefer, but you could also say that it was no reason to mention it in the Sefer, and therefore there's no reason. You can just go back and forth, and you can't prove. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, we said before on Amar Aleph, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Mice of Osir of Tarifin Olai Beitz and Chinis Bashalimai. It happened once that I made a neder not to eat meat, and Rabbi Tarifin said I can't eat the eggs that were cooked with it. So Omruloi, and the Chachamim answered Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai, when would that be so? Because Manchama Bosso Zer Olai, when he says, this meat is also to me, Shanoidim and Adobim and Isara Ba'acha Vieshba Benoits and Tamar is also, because if you make a neder from something and it's mixed in with something else and it has a nois and tam, then it would be also. So therefore, so obviously you see that when you say zeh or elu, which is the plural of zeh, obviously it includes what comes out of it. So why would Rami Bachama even have a question whether the juice that comes out of the grapes or olives would be an issue? So the Gemara says, you're right. But elu loikum aboyamon, the davku. Fine. You know what? You're right. If he says zeh or he says elu, there's no question. That's the davka. And therefore the juice that comes out of it will be awesome. The question would be, when he says she'eni toyim, does he mean specifically that he won't taste anything of them, or lav davka, and he just means that he will be mutter in the juice because he's only asking himself from the fruit itself? So the Gemara says toshma. Let's prove from the what does Lashon Me'adam mean? When he says she'eni toyim, does it mean that I won't eat these fruits themselves, or does it mean that I won't even eat the juice from them? No, not tapshul. We're talking about just to drink the juice by itself. Oh. Yeah. So the Gemara says toshma. Let's prove from an earlier Mishnah that we had under an Aleph on the Beis. Dogim she'eni toyim. If he says I won't eat dog or dogim, according to the Ran, we said over there, he said both expressions. According to the Rosh and Tosfos, he said one or the other. So he's also to eat big or small fish, raw or cooked, or mutter betris trufa betzir, but he's mutter to eat minced fish, to eat minced tuna fish, and he's mutter to eat betzir. So now you see that he's not also to eat juice that comes out of it. The juice that comes out of the fish should be considered for this purpose, the same as the juice that comes out of the grapes and the olives. And you still see that they're mutter. So therefore, by the same token, even though he said the word she'eni toyim, it's still mutter to drink the juice, to drink the fish juice. The same way here he says she'eni toyim about the grapes or the olives, you should be mutter to eat to drink the grape juice or the olive juice or the olive oil.
According to when you eat dog, you're eating dog.
No, but that's the thing. We're saying if he says I'm also to eat fish, then he's mutter to eat fish juice. So we see that even though the juice comes out of the fish, which is also, nevertheless, it's mutter, because in Lashon Ne'adam, the fish means only the fish itself. Well, by the same logic, then, Rami Bachama is asking now, according to our revised understanding of Rami Bachama, he's asking if I make a neder not to taste grapes, am I also to drink grape juice? The answer should be that yes. Same way as if I say I'm also to taste fish, I'm allowed to drink fish juice. I'm also to eat. I'm also to eat grapes. I'm allowed to drink grape juice. The answer is Amar Rava Uchvav Yotz Mehen. Rava says that's not a proof because the Mishnah may mean over there the liquids that already came out of them before he ever assed these fish to him. There was already fish juice that came out of them, and he's saying that the fish should be mutter to me, should be also to me. Therefore, the juice that previously already came out of them would be mutter. But here you're talking about, he said grapes will be also to me. Afterwards, the grapes are squeezed to produce juice. Is that juice going to be mutter to him? Not necessarily. So therefore, the Gemara leaves the question open. So again, as far as when he says elu or ze, there's no question that it's also. When he says eni toyim, then you have the question, and therefore we have to go l'chumra. And the Ran discusses a little bit of the ins and outs of this. One point the Ran says is, what about if he doesn't use the word shani toyim? What about if he says the word shani oichel? So would that mean that he's only also to eat them? And when he says shani oicho, then maybe in fact he would be mutter in the juice that comes out of them. Maybe not. Another point is also, would the same thing apply to a shvua? A shvua, you don't say a shvua on the individual object. The shvua is on you. So would there be a difference in that regard between a neder and a shvua? We say by a shvua, you have no other way to express it or not. He brings from the Rambam that there's no difference by a neder or a shvua. The same dinim are going to be the same thing. The loshen itself implies shani oichel or shani toyim implies anything that I would eat or anything that I would taste from this would be also, and therefore that's going to include the juice.
It's a fine line. You have to really know your stuff before you make.